People talk about the Bible. Anybody ever talk to you about the Bible? Anybody say, well, the Bible's not real or that's not true? They start arguing about this scripture or the New Testament or about this person. But you know one person, you know, God gave this to me. You know one person they never seem to argue about? The one person, the people who come against the Bible who they never talk about? David. David. Imagine that. They never mention David. And you know why? Because David was a man after God's own heart. Was David perfect? No. What did he do? He committed murder. He was an adulterer. Amen? He was a sinner. David was a sinner. And they would attack him, but they know better because David also knew how to repent. Amen? David was a faithful man who followed God. Can I get an amen? They never argue or disagree with the writings of David, a man who loved God, a man after God's own heart. Imagine that. And let me tell you about David. Let me give you a little something about David that maybe you've never heard of or maybe you never thought of before. Amen? David could care less what man said. Amen? He could care less what the television said when he turned on its ESPN, what they were talking about. He could care less. He was, hallelujah, listen to this. David was strong enough to admit he needed help. Imagine that. People say you're strong. He was strong enough to admit he needed help. Amen. How strong is that a person? How many have had a problem admitting when you need help? Come on, you're all the same way with me. You know, you don't want to tell anybody your troubles. You want to help other people, but no, your troubles are too, you're going to hold them close. He was strong enough to face his shortcomings. Imagine that. This David that they won't talk about was strong enough to face his shortcomings. That's powerful. And he was strong enough to seek, to ask, and then allow God to answer. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. The strongest must be humble. That takes strength. Amen. People think it's weak to be humble. It takes more strength to admit that you need help. More strength to admit that you need a better way. More strength to admit that your way isn't the right way, that God has a better way. Can you say that with me? God has a better way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So he writes in Psalm 42. I'll just read a little of it for you. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. And this is the scripture I'm going to lean on today. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? David knew sorrow. Anybody? Amen? He knew sorrow. He knew pain. And he knew losing. He understood that. But he also understood that the first thing he would do, the first thing he would do was seek after God. Call to God. Because he believed God. Amen? Say that with me. He believed God. This David of the Bible believed God. Hallelujah. The strong must be humble. He was strong enough to admit it, strong enough to face his shortcomings, and strong enough to seek, ask, and then allow God to answer. Hallelujah. Thirst. He thirsts. My soul thirsts for God. What's a soul do? What is thirst? Thirst is a need. It's a desire, it's a craving, and a longing. Some people thirst for success, amen? Anybody here, you got a business, and you really want to be successful, you're thirsting for success, right, Flo? You want to be rich beyond your wildest imagination. So you But the thirst for God means to hunger for God. Are you with me? Thirst, feeding our spirits, hallelujah, building up our strength, our faith, and bringing us closer to God. But this thirst he's talking about is a deeper desire, Kim. It's the thirst means you're craving more of God in your life. You're craving this book. Why? Because you need help. We all need help. The second you say, I need help, and you turn to God, guess what? God answers. Amen? Hallelujah. How many are perfect in here? How many ever thought that in order to be with God, you had to be perfect? Are there any sinners in this house? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Oh, I think I did what I thought I didn't do. Let me read this for before I go to that scripture. When we think of David, this is right in my Bible. This is a life's application Bible, a life's application study Bible, New King James Version. Amen. I like the New King James because there's no thous and these and thys. It's sort of a special regular English pad. Understand? Listen to what it says about David, about this man that we're talking about today, a man who had a heart after God, a man whose heart was after God's. When we think of David, we think shepherd, poet, giant killer. Remember David and Goliath, ancestor of Jesus. In short, one of the greatest men in the Old Testament. Can I get an amen? That's David. But alongside that list stands another, a betrayer, a liar, adulterer, a murderer. The first list gives us qualities we all might like to have, absolutely. The second, qualities that we might be true in any of us today. Any of us, can I get an amen? The Bible makes no effort to hide, listen to this, is so important. The Bible makes no effort to hide David's failures. Yet he is remembered and respected for his heart for God, knowing how much more we share in David's failures than in his greatness. We should be curious to find out what made God refer to David. And I love this. Imagine this. God referred to David as a man after my own heart. That's in the book of Acts. He says that. David, more than anything else, had an unchangeable belief in the faithful and forgiving nature of God. He sure did. He was a man who lived with great zest. He sinned many times, but he was quick to confess his sins. His confessions were from the heart. That's important. And his repentance was genuine. David never took God's forgiveness lightly or his blessings for granted. In return, God never held back from David either his forgiveness or the consequences of his actions. David experienced the joy of forgiveness even when he had to suffer the consequences of his sins. Hallelujah. That was David. That was David. And then I want to read this in the book of Romans. And I wonder, as I read this to you today, I wonder if Paul ever thought, maybe I wish I hadn't wrote all that, because this is sort of confusing in certain ways. Kind of, some people think it gives you a free will to do whatever you want. Amen? But people think that they have to be perfect. They have to be good enough for God. And they see somebody else sinning. They see somebody else falling short. I see it all the time. I hear people trying to use the scripture, pointing it at other purpose. Well, look at him. He was married four times. Or look at him. He was a Or look at that girl. She's doing this or she's doing that. And they start to judge them. And here's what Paul says, and this is so one. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I wonder if he ever said, I don't know, I wish he didn't say this one. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. But listen to what he says here. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Where's the inward man? That's your spirit, amen? He delights in his spirit for the law of God. But Paul says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Hallelujah. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. This is Paul in the book of Romans. Oh, wretched man that I am. Apostle Paul. Oh, wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now, and you're going to repeat with me, there is therefore now no condemnation. How much? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Hallelujah. There is no condemnation in us now. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Do you understand what Paul is saying? Just like all of us, even Walter, not Gene, no Walter, right? Not Gene. We know when Gene is out. Gene should sit in one spot. We should have Gene sit up here too. She's perfect. We love Gene. Paul is telling us that as strong as he tries to do all the good things, Jim, he can't. He's doing bad things. And his thoughts, he wants to think all great things. And then what is he doing? Bad things. He can't. It's the flesh overriding the spirit. Oh, what a wretched man I am. You're reading the Bible. Three quarters of the New Testament is written by who? A wretched man. Because he admits sin. Amen. He admits that he needs who? God. He admits that God is the only thing that will save him. Amen. The only thing that will change him, change his thought patterns, change his life, Greg, is God. Because he admits, I'm a sinner. I can't help it. I want to be good. I want to be the best man I can be. And I'm being it. But it ain't very good according to God. Amen. I will to do. I don't do what I will. I will. I can't do it. I love that. I mean, the first time I read that, I said, I must be. For what am I doing? I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Hallelujah. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. So let's go back here. Let's go back to the word of thirst. Amen, Kim, Bonnie, thirst. When you thirst, you're hungry for something, right? When you thirst, your body is calling you for something. So you go find something to drink. Amen? Hallelujah. So we know that we cannot live without water in our natural body. Amen? Are you with me? We cannot live without water in our natural. We just can't. We can't survive without it. So I will tell you this. We cannot live without the living waters from God, the spiritual man. The inside man cannot live without the spiritual waters from God. Amen? Say that with me. This: the inside man cannot live without the spiritual waters of God. You need water every day to drink. Your inside man, your spiritual man, the man that the God inside of you who you want to lift you up, he needs to be fed, amen? He needs to have that drink. And where's the drink? From the word of God, amen? Every man, hallelujah. By the, can I get an amen? I like that. Hallelujah. Let me read two scriptures. This is from John. On the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out. What did he do? Understand this. He wasn't just whispering. The Bible says he cried out. He was yelling. He was telling people, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of his where? From his inner being will flow rivers of living water. That means that coming out of his heart, out of his mouth will be compassion and forgiveness for each other and understanding for each other. Amen. It will change lives. And then in John 6:35 it says, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Hallelujah. So how do we find it? How do we find that living water? We go to our Bible. We come to this book. We open it up. I tell people all the time, if you find something in there that doesn't pertain to you today, turn the page, Donnie. Just turn the page. It doesn't. God's not going to be mad at you. Find something that touches you for a second and let him feed you with that. Be still and know that I am God. I found that this morning. I knew it was in there, but because I highlighted it in my Bible, hint, I got more writing in my Bible than I do in my school years. I saw it right away. Be still and know that I am God. It lifted me up this morning. Amen. How do we find it in the Bible? Thank you. Where do we find it? Right here on Sunday mornings. Amen. Where do you find this water to drink? You find it here on Sunday mornings, Jim. Amen. When you come to church on Sunday and you hear the word being preached, you hear the living water preaching you. Amen. That's where you find it on Sunday. And you come with the fellowship. Amen. Because now we're a team. Amen. Look around. This is a team. You can call somebody else if you need help. George can call Bernie. Chuck can call Greg. I mean, we're a team. Amen. This is what church is about. This is the difference of being alone, watching them on TV, or coming to church and having fellowship with other believers. Amen. And hearing the word. And then you don't thirst all of a sudden. You come here and I'm going to feed you the water. I'm going to pour the water all over you, his word. And then what you retain changes your life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. Many great men in life, all those men in history, those great men had one thing in common first. all the religions of the world, those people who found those religions had one thing in common first. You know what that was? They were looking for God. Muhammad was looking for God. Buddha was looking for God. He wasn't looking for people. He wasn't looking to establish a religion. They were looking for who? First. Hallelujah. How to treat others. Husbands and wives. Peace, comfort, hope, healing powers. These great people searched for God first. For them, because they wanted to know the truth. That's what made them great. They were great because they searched for God first, and then they brought back the healing powers. They brought back the comfort. Today I'm giving you hope that you will not get on television this afternoon watching football. I guarantee it. And even if your team wins, hallelujah, you're not going to get the hope that God's going to give you forever. Amen? Even if the Cowboys win, Gary, I better. And although off this week, you won then. You don't have to worry about it. Mary, you didn't tell me you're not playing this week. Praise God. All right. Here's the ending. I'm closing now. Y'all with me? Everybody with me? Pat, George, you're no different. Dale, Sue, you're no different. You're great. You can be great in God. Can I get an amen? You can be. You can be great in God. Chuck, Marilyn, and Gary, understand, Kim. When you bring people to God, what David did today, bringing people to God, imagine that? That's great, amen. He is great in the guise of God today because he brought people to his house, amen. You can be great like David by focusing on God and leading people to the Word. When God is inside of you and that Spirit shines out, it draws people to you. When I drew those people to me on Friday, I didn't know one of them, but I drew them all to me, not because of anything I said, but because I was preaching about who? And they received it. Today you need to receive it. You need to receive it in your spirit because you too will be doing great things. Understand what words? Great things. Imagine that today you'll be doing great things. Amen. Greater things than you thought when you woke up this morning. If you let that light shine, if you give people that living water, amen, you will change lives. And let me tell you one thing, one last thing. That feeling I had on Friday, that feeling I had was simply amazing. When his mother come up to me, when Marcia's mother come up to me, she said to me, I would go to church every day if I can hear somebody preach like you, because I was simply preaching the Word of God. When I heard that, I left here knowing I'm on the right track. I'm on the right path. I'm not going to let the devil get in my way. I'm not going to let him stop me or get me discouraged, because of days like that, I know I'm on the right path because I'm feeding people the Word of God. Amen? Because you can be great. You can be great. You can do it. And I'm telling you what, you can never be the same after that. That feeling I had on Friday will stay in my spirit, and I'll let that rise up every time I feel discouraged, because I know we're on the right path. But you can be just as great. You, by calling people to come to church, will lift them up. You might heal a marriage. Imagine that. You might heal a husband and a wife. You might heal a father and a mother. Imagine that. All the great things you can do simply because you brought them to God. Amen. You can heal a family and friends simply because you brought them to God. You can be just as great as David. In Jesus' name I pray. Give him praise, church. Hallelujah. You can be great. You are great. But you can be greater. You can have a feeling inside of you greater than you ever thought. By just feeding people, healing people. Let me tell you what I found out on Friday that I knew that came to light again. The hardest people to heal are families. Amen, Brother Gary. The hardest... The son of the woman was so distraught because he felt his mother had betrayed him. But he stood up and still talked, right, Rainey? He still got up and said, I don't hate my mother. I'm just mad that he didn't have the time with his mother. He felt cheated, but he still got up and spoke, amen? The family is the hardest. We need to forgive one another. Forgive each other. It's the hardest thing to do, I know, but God put that in there so that you can be free and let your body heal. Hallelujah. Now we're going to do this in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. And this church does this every Sunday to remember what Jesus did once for all. Hallelujah. For all of us, he stood in the gap. He paid the price for all our sins because of what he did for us. We are no longer wretched men to God. We are sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, we're going to share this morning.